that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he did as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Verse 22, my God has sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have no hurt, have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Amen. My God, add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. And for a few minutes, I want to use a thought or a title, a tag. Persistent prayer. We all need it. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we all need it. Amen. Persistent prayer, we all need it. When we, there's a story of a Roman troop that had one day been told that you Christians are not welcome in the Roman army. They had been some mighty men of valor, but they were persistent in their belief and persistent on the battlefield. So the captain of the army says that this brings me great grief, that if you don't deny your Christian faith, that I'm going to have to kill you. And they said, well, you're going to have to kill us because we are martyrs for Christ. And he looked at them and he said, you know, we've been through many battles together. We've been through many storms together, many situations together, and I would rather you denounce Christ and just pledge your allegiance to the God of Caesar. And they said to him that we've prayed about this, and we are going to be persistent coming out of prayer that we are going to be martyrs for Christ. So to give them a chance, he took them and he said, strip off your clothes, and I guarantee by the end of the night that you will be denouncing your Christian God and you will become servants of Caesar. And he stripped them out of their clothes and marched them to an icy lake. And once they got there, they began to freeze, but they all, it was 40 men, they began to sing a song. We are martyrs for Christ. And the night went on. They were freezing, and finally one of them came crawling. And he asked him, he said, I'll denounce Christ. I've come back to be a part of this army, and I want to pledge my allegiance to Caesar. But then the 39 men said, we are 39 men who are martyrs for Christ. And they stayed there, and they prayed all night. And so late in the wee hours of the night, they kept hearing these faint sounds. And the words of the song was, we 39 men are martyrs for Christ. And all of a sudden, the captain, who had already told him that I'm going to kill you if you don't take away, or if you don't denounce your Christianity, I'm going to have to kill you from the orders of Caesar, he took off all his clothes, marched out to that icy lake, and said, now we are 40 men who are martyrs for Christ. That is what we call constancy and persistency. Those men had a prayer life, and they believed in their God. Although they had to live in the world, they believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they in no way would turn their back on him. The same story here we find in Daniel chapter number 6. No matter what the world said, Daniel would not turn his back on God. Amen. We should be the same way. We should have persistence. We should have constancy about ourselves, that no matter what takes place in our life, we will not turn our back on whom we believe and trust in. Amen? Amen. When we look at the book of Daniel, the name Daniel itself gives us a good clue of how God moves and how God operates. And Daniel says that his name says that God is judge. There are many people that you'll find in the book of Daniel that had judgment on people who said that they were children of God, that served the Most High God. And Daniel's name itself means God is judge. And so Daniel said that no man has really the right to judge whether I do right or do wrong, but God himself judges me. Come on and say amen. Daniel's story is that he was one of the captors of Babylon, and in that day they took the brightest and the smartest boys in Babylon, and they would take them and they would train them in the ways of the Chaldeans, or they would train the boys from Jerusalem, I'm sorry, from Israel, and they would train them in the ways of the Chaldeans, and they would teach them all the arts and sciences, and they would make them part of the government of the land, because they wanted to be an all-inclusive government, kind of like the United States. We include everybody. We allow anyone that comes here that is upstanding citizens to become public figures or political figures if they would like to be, if they're smart enough, bright enough, and rich enough. Come on and say amen. Well, here it is. Daniel now is 80 years old. He's an old man, and Daniel says, I don't have time to play around with all of this other stuff. But Daniel, at this point, had now been promoted as the second in charge, basically, because there was 120 providences that had people over it, and then there were three people that were over the 120, and after the 120, Daniel himself stood up above the other three. Amen? And so here it was, Daniel, 80 years old, and these people begin to plot and they begin to plan. Amen? But what we got to understand is that when we look at the word persistent, is that it means to be continual firmly in the course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Daniel said, in spite of opposition, I'm still going to pray. Amen. Amen. Daniel, the Bible says that if you read chapter 6, verse 1 through 9, it says that Darius set them over these provinces. And these men were jealous that Daniel had been promoted above them. Daniel didn't have a problem with, and Daniel didn't have a problem continuing to serve God, even though he was in a worldly system. Come on and say amen. For all of us who get to the point that we are no earthly good because we keep our heads above the clouds, come on and say amen. I'm not trying to pick at anybody, but I'm saying that as long as we're living in this flesh, we have to learn how to live in this place and actually not be really of this place. Daniel was able to function in the world, although he was not part of the world. Amen. And so Daniel, he was promoted to the highest level in the government, and you had some guys that were around him. At some point, they had presented themselves friendly. At some point, they had been colleagues with one another. But let me tell you something. You can have colleagues, you can have friends, and all of a sudden, because God has blessed you or you've been promoted, those friends can turn into foes. Somebody said that those friends turn into frenemies. Amen. Frenemies. In other words, they were friends, or they pretend to be friends, but they're really enemies. They study you, they watch you, and they have a trap set for you because they want to stop what you're about to do. Come on and say amen. And we have a lot of those that we can call frenemies, but I don't want you to focus so much on the frenemies or the enemies or the foes, but I want you to focus on the God that we serve. David said in Psalm number 27, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the enemy, my foes, came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The host encamped against me. My heart shall not fear. One thing that I desire of the Lord. See, David said, I'm going to focus on God. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in his house and inquire in his temple. That's what we got to focus. We can't keep focusing on the haters. We can't keep talking about who hate me. I want to talk about who loves me. I don't want want to keep talking about who has it out for me. I want to talk about who got it in for me. I wish I had somebody in here today that realized today that we have to be persistent. And as long as we keep talking to God, as long as we keep praying, prayer will get us through whatever it is that we're dealing with. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 65, God says that I will answer them before they call. I will hear them. Come on and say amen. Before they even speak. So what that tells me is that God knows what I'm dealing with, and before I can even call on the name of the Lord, he's already given me an answer. He's already blessed my life. He's already delivered me. He's already put up a plan to bail me out of my trouble. I wish I had some people in here that understood that we must be persistent in prayer, because it'll get us out of some things that we get ourselves into. Yes. Let me slow down here. But look at the plot they had to trap Daniel. They said to the king, they said, okay, what we need here, we need first, if you read it, he says that they, in verse 4, it says that they, the president sought to find an occasion against Daniel. And they kept trying to find something that they could not find anything that Daniel would do wrong. You got to understand that there's not only the devil, but the devil in people. Can I say it like that? The devil in people will plot. They will watch you to see if they can find something that they can use against you. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah. They try to find things that seem like they try to look for something. And as soon as they think they got something, they say, I got you. But they spoke too soon because they misunderstood you. They didn't get you. They misunderstood. I wish I had somebody. And so they begin to plot against Daniel. And the Bible says that they went to King Darius. And they said, you know, we can't find, they got together and they said, we can't find anything against Daniel except if we can get something against him dealing with his God. And you know, the devil knows how to work in people. They want to try to get you when it concerning your God. You're a Christian, huh? Yeah, you think you're a holy roller. You think you're all that. You think you're all that in a bag of chips. Well, I am more than a bag of chips, amen. Because, oh, come on and say, man, you can pop the bag of chips and eat them, but thanks to God, you can't eat me because I'm like Daniel. You can put me in the lion's den and I'll come out. Y'all don't hear me in here. But he said that Daniel, they said, we can't find anything against Daniel. And they went to the king and they said, here it is. We got it now. We're going to, king, you need to sign this decree. And they begin to pump up the king, make him feel like he was more than he should have been, because the king knew about Daniel's God. He knew that he needed to humble himself before God. But the king, they said, you know, don't let anybody pray or ask a petition of any kind except they come to you. And they said, king, can I have this, or would you do that for me? And you become a God like unto them. And so after they told the king this, and the king said, wow, that sounds pretty good. They tricked him knowing that he and Daniel were buddies. They tricked him knowing that he and Daniel had a relationship. Amen. And so the king signed the decree, and they put this plot together, and they knew that Daniel was not going to obey the decree, that he was going to do whatever he wanted to do, and then they were going to have him, and they were going to take him and put him in the den of lions. I know we say the lion's den, but it was a den of lions. In other words, it was some hungry, starved out lions, lions that hadn't been fed in a long time, lions that had been captured, and somehow when they were captured, they might have been angry because they were in a position. You know, you don't take a wild animal and cage him up because that makes them angry. If you put me in a cage, that makes me what? Angry. We got to understand the lions, they are roaming animals. Amen. And so they said, we're going to cast them in the den of lions. But if you look at verse number 10, I like Daniel's attitude. And see, we can have people plot against us. We can have people have a plan against us. We can have the devil even plot against us, because Ephesians 6 tells us that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil wickedness in high places. Amen? And so you can have that happen, but your attitude when it happens is what we need to be concerned about. Look at what Daniel did. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went in his house and windows, he opened his windows in the chamber, and he looked toward Jerusalem, kneeled on the floor 3 times a day and prayed and thanked before his God, and as he did before. Daniel said, ain't nothing changing about what I do. Just because you don't like it, I'm not changing. Just because it gets on your nerves, I'm still going to pray. Just because you don't like how I do what I do, I'm still going to keep doing what I'm doing. And better yet, let me open up my window so you can see that I'm going to do it. Daddy, people said, I don't have a closet religion. I don't hide the God that I serve, but I want you to know. Come on, somebody say amen. I want you to know that I'm going to serve God in spite of what you signed, in spite of what law you got in place. And listen, we are in America, and you better watch out, because there are some signs, some things that are going to be signed that's not going to be favorable for you Christians. Amen. There's some things that's not going to be favorable, not for you, just only you Christians, but it's not going to be favorable for us folk. Come on and say amen. Because we are living in a time where people, look, they want to make America great again. I got a question. Has America ever really been great? Look at how it's treated its citizens. Look at, oh Lord, I don't want to get on that. Let me stop. Has America ever been great? But we got to understand that there are some things that are going to be signed, some things that are going to try to bind us up, but we can't have a closet religion. We got to learn how to continue to pray, because if you pray, you'll stay. If you fast, you'll last. If I had somebody in here that I could tell to pray, I'd tell you, stop right now. Get on your knees and pray, because God wants to hear your call. The Bible says, Jesus tells us, he said, man ought to always pray and not to faint. We can't faint at the sign of trouble. We can't throw in the towel. Come on and say amen. Many of us, we want to do a Marvin Gaye, make me want to holler, throw up both my hands and say, that's it, I quit. But we can't quit. We got to learn how to pray, because when we pray, things begin to happen. The Bible says, oh, come on, in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Anybody need a healing in here? Then we need to pray. Anybody need deliverance? Then we need to pray. If your children acting up, you need to pray. If your wife acting funny, if your money's funny, your change is strange, go ahead and what? Pray. We need to learn how to be persistent in prayer. And once we learn how to pray, once we open our mouth and begin to call on the Lord, he will deliver us. He will hear us. He's waiting. The Bible says that he inclines his ear to our call. And so he's waiting for us to say something to him. Wow. I'm going too fast. Tell me to slow down, preacher. So we look at the plot, we see the plot, but then we see the practice of persistent prayer. Daniel was committed. Daniel continued to do what he knew to do. In spite of the plot, even though he knew about it, even though he knew what was going on, Daniel said, my response is not to go to them and slap them. My response is not to get in their face. He's 80 years old, by the way. But Daniel said, it's not my response to try to go tell the king, don't do this, king, because I'm going to pray. He didn't have to try to defend himself. He didn't try to wiggle his way out of the situation. But what did Daniel do? Daniel said, I'm going to somebody higher than you. I'm going to somebody who has the power. Oh, I wish I had somebody. And the Bible even tells us that the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he can turn it whatever way he wants to turn it. Daniel said, I'm going to talk to somebody who slung the stars in the sky. I'm talking to the one who put the earth on his finger and spin it like a basketball and it still rotates. I wish I had somebody. I'm going to talk to somebody who's greater than my problem. And so we don't need to go talk to the problem makers. Go talk to the problem solver. And oh, Lord, have mercy. And so instead of us complaining about it, instead of us going to the complaint window, move to the claim window and say, Lord, I claim what you said. I'm the lender, not the borrower. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I wish I had somebody. I have favor from God. And so I'm going to pray to him because I know he hears me. He'll hear you if you call him. He'll hear you if you call him. So in spite of the terror of persecution, Daniel still prayed. We would have fell out. We would have started crying. We'd have called all of our family. And we'd have told them, every one of them that did this plot, we'd have told them, you need to get them. Don't let them have no peace. We need to get them. We need to go do something about this. We'd have called up everybody that we could. We'd have went scratched their car up. Come on. We would have done whatever we could to hurt them, because we knew about their plot. We would have blessed them out. Some people say blessed them out, but it's really cussed them out. cursed them out, cursed them, whatever, cussed them out. We would have done that. We would have made sure that we let them know how much we didn't like what they did. But that's not the way God wants us to handle the situation. He wants us to pray about it. There's a time that we need to stop doing all the other stuff and just get in a place and begin to pray. The Bible says that when we pray, he said, go into your closet, and the God that you pray to in secret will reward you in the open. And so people don't understand why you're so blessed. They don't understand that why God has given you what he's given you. They don't understand why you're not moved at their plot. It's because God will do in the open what they don't see you doing in the private. I wish I had somebody. You don't know about my prayer life, boo. I've been in the closet. And when I go to the closet, you better, oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all, can I preach like a grown man should? You don't know what I'm doing in my closet. I got a place in my closet that when I talk to the Lord, I don't have to worry about it. I leave it right there, because when I come out, all I'm looking for is when he's going to bless me. Well, all I'm looking for is when he's going to give me my victory. All I'm looking for is when he's going to shine upon me and show favor upon me, so that you can see that whatever you try to do don't work. And I can tell you now that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Yeah, come on, any tongue rising against me in judgment, I shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of God. Oh yeah, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Not some of them, but all of them. And I'm thankful today that if I can go in my closet and get on my knees and pray in private, that God say, I'll give you an opportunity to pray in private, but I want to give you a blessing in public. Your private prayer give you a public blessing. Do I have any witnesses in here today? That's power when you pray. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 16 and 17 talks about how he was thrown in the lion's den. It says, and the king commanded, and they brought Daniel. And you know, the king spent all day trying to figure out how he can get Daniel out of this mess. But there was no way out, because those guys kept saying, if the king signs it, we got to keep it. It's a decree. It's a law. And so he says, well, let him be thrown in the lion's den. But look at what the king tells Daniel. The king tells Daniel, Daniel, the God that you serve continually, he will deliver you. And we got to see something here. If we serve God continually, if we do what we're supposed to do faithfully, why wouldn't God be faithful to us? He's a faithful God. He's a just. And you know, by the way, even when we don't do everything that we should do, God is still faithful. I'm telling you, because I know, I'm a witness here, that when you do everything that you want to do and you ain't doing nothing God wants you to do, God's still faithful. He still keeps you. He still wakes you up in the morning. He still blesses your life. He still keep, oh, come on and say amen. He still keeps your heart pumping and your mind, oh, come on and say amen, your mind right, so that one day you'll decide, you know, I need to give God a better praise than this. I need to give God some more time than I've been giving him. I need to be able to go to church and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt and give God what he just do. I wish I had somebody. God has been good to us, even when we haven't been good to him. Even when we go about our own way and do things our own way, God said, even though your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not mine, I'm still gonna bless you. Eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into the heart of man. You just don't know how good you got it, because God is faithful and God loves you. God said, Daniel, I'm going to take care of you. And the king spoke it. He said, Daniel, the God that you serve continually, he's going to keep you in the dens of lion. Amen. Let's go a little further. He says that, and they laid, verse 17, and the stone was brought, and they laid it upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of the Lord, his lords, and the purpose, that purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. But then we go down to verse 22 and 23, and I'm almost done. Y'all patient with me? I'm almost done. I usually get 30, 45 minutes, somewhere along there. It says, and my God, well, let me just tell you the story. This will be easier. So he went to the lion's den that morning. The king fasted all night. He prayed all night. Now, who was he praying and who was he fasting to? Apparently, he had been praying and fasting to the God of Daniel, because he said, I believe that your God is going to deliver you. Oh, yeah. And so he began to fast and pray. He went down early that morning to the lion's den, and he opened up his mouth with a lamental voice. In other words, he was crying. He was sad. He said, oh, Daniel, are you able, the God that you serve, able to deliver you? Verse 22 says, and my God has sent his angel and has shut up the lion's mouth. Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God that I serve has sent his angel and shut up the mouth of the lions, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him I was innocent. Daniel said, look, I didn't have to defend myself because I knew I was right. Daniel said, I didn't have to defend myself because God knew that I was innocent. Come on and say, man, I had innocence in my heart. And so look at this. We understand that the practice of persistent prayer, when we practice, that means practice. We always say practice make perfect, but practice actually makes permanent. If I practice it enough, then I'll continue to do it. If you practice going to church, you'll keep doing it. If you practice praying, you'll keep doing it. If you practice praising, you'll keep doing it. I wish I had somebody. If you practice cussing, you keep doing it. So we got to practice saying the word of God. Whatever we practice, Daniel practiced praying, and so he didn't think nothing of it. He was innocent. And so now we see the protection of the prayer warrior. God will protect you if you are a prayer warrior. God will protect you. We see that Daniel in the lion's den, and the lions could not even eat Daniel. The lions, here they are, starved out. And God said, no, you can't have anything to eat because you can't eat a prayer warrior. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, you may be able to eat anything else, but a lion can't eat a prayer warrior. I wish I had somebody. And so when I talk about that, and when I look at what the lesson from Daniel is, that he talked with God, and he never tried to defend himself because God was the judge. He didn't wait until, and you know what? Daniel didn't even talk during the trial. He didn't even talk during the persecution. But Daniel waited to afterwards to begin talking. See, we talk too much. We talk about other folks, and we talk about other things, and about who did it and why they did it, and who we think was part of it. And we call everybody on the telephone trying to figure it out, trying to talk about it. And while you're trying to figure it out, God's already worked. Come on, don't sleep on me in here. Tell your neighbor, don't sleep on me. God has already worked it out. Come on and say amen here. And so when God brings about protection and prayer for the prayer warrior, we understand that our testimony, the Bible said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our own testimony. And so what did God do? God protected Daniel because he was dear to him. We have to have it in our minds that we're dear to God. We have to believe that God cares about us. The Bible says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for us. And I'm through here. We need to learn how to cast our cares on Daniel and on God, and like Daniel did, as a lesson to us. And when the Bible says that the king, he said the king was exceedingly glad. He was exceedingly glad because Daniel was not hurt. And the reason Daniel was not hurt is because God sent his angel in the den with him. God put a muzzle on the lion. And when we start talking about the lion, the Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But what we need to understand is, even though the devil is as a roaring lion, it didn't say that he was as an eating lion. Oh yeah, he can't eat. You know why? Because Jesus is an orthodontist. He put a, I wish I had somebody. He already defanged him. The Bible says that when Jesus came, that when he died, he said, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? In other words, Jesus took all the teeth out of the lion. And the most the lion can do now is roar at you. The most he can do is make some noise. That's all the devil can do in your life. Oh yeah, he wants to make noise about this. He want to make noise about that, but it doesn't even matter now, because I'm not listening at the noise of the devil, because I'm making noise myself. Why are you making noise, preacher? I'm making noise because he brought me out. I'm making noise because he brought me through. I'm making noise because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Anybody here like me? Anybody say, I'll make some noise? I ain't trying to hear what the devil got to say. I'm not trying to hear what they got to say. But I'm trying to hear what the Lord is saying. But if I can just get in a place of praise, and if I can get in a place of prayer, come on and shout yes here. If I can get in a place where I can get in the presence of God, he said, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Do I have any witnesses here? So Daniel was in the lion's den, and the Bible says that as they were in the lion's den, that the angel shut up the mouth of the lion. And I'm so glad today that we got Daniel's testimony, that the angel shut the mouth up. See, we've been trying to shut the mouth of the devil up. It ain't your job to shut his mouth. It's your job to open your mouth and begin to pray to God. It's your job to open your mouth and begin to praise God. I ain't got to talk to the devil. When did we ever have to talk to him? I need to talk to the one higher than the devil. I need to talk to God. See, the problem with many of us, we think that when you say who's equal to God, we say, oh, the devil. The devil is not equal to God. He's equal to you. You got as much or more power because Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So you got even more power than the devil. But the Bible says that when Jesus died, that he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. Now, what happened to that power? He's given us that power. He's given us power through prayer. If you pray, you'll get power.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address.